Important, correct? What is more important than chanting? It begins with H and rhymes with ear. What is it? What? Hearing. So, another thing is that if you decide you really want to hear something that's in there, then Krishna will help me speak this. So what we do is try to listen, and also if you have these cell phones, pagers, whatever, or instead of having other conversations, try to listen, and if there is anything I said wrong, I may add some things that are wrong just to see if you're paying attention. So pay attention. But if we can turn off the cell phones, it is disturbing to hear them ring and to try to stay on concentration to the point. So we will go with the invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We chant this before Bhagavatam class. And do we chant this because A, it is the first words of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. B, it is the first words of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. C, because Dhruva Maharaj chanted it in the forest. D, because Prabhupada introduced it before Bhagavatam class. Or E, all of the above. Which one is it? All of the above? Okay, good. We will get back to some of that later. So, I'll use my Paska Chasma instead of the Durka Chasma. So, we'll read sect 7 first, then we will recite verse 8, and then we will read the other verses and discuss it. So, text 7 is Atas Twam Eko Bhutanam Seshvaranam Adishvaraha Shashta Danda Daro Nrinam Shubha Shubha Vivechanaha. Translation. The Supreme Judge must be one. This is the Yamaduta speaking. Not many. It is our understanding that you are that Supreme Judge and that you have jurisdiction even over the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the supreme authority, who discriminates between the pious and impious activities of all human beings. Then today's verse, text 8. That's what's up there. It starts with Tasya. Yes? Okay. Tasya te vito dando na loke vartate duna chaturbir adbute sitir ajna te vipralambita tasya te vihito dando na loke vartate duna chaturbir adbute sitir ajna te vipralambita tasya te vihito dando na loke vartate duna chaturbir adbute sitir ajna te vipralambita tasya te vihito dando na loke vartate duna chaturbir adbute sitir ajna te vipralambita. Repeat. Tasya te vipralambita. dear. Tasya te vihito dando. Chaturbiran videsa dear. Ajnate vi pralambita. Tasyate vihito dando. Naloke vartate duna. Chaturbir anvite siddhir. Ajnate vi pralambita. Ladies. Tasyate vihito dando. Naloke vartate duna. Chakvute sidir. Ajnate vi pralambita. Tasya, of the influence. Te, of you. Vihita, ordained. Danda, punishment. Na, not. Loke, within this world. Vartate, exists. Aduna, now. Chaturbi, by four. Abhute, very wonderful. Siddhe, perfected persons. Ajna, the order. Te, your. Vipralambita, surpassed. Translation. But now we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective, since your order has been transgressed by four wonderful and perfect beings. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. The Yamadutas had been under the impression that Yamaraj was the only person in charge of administering justice. They were fully confident that no one could counteract his judgments. But now, to their surprise, his order has been violated by four wonderful persons from Siddhaloka. So we're discussing text 9 and 10, so I'll read those also, the Sanskrit and the English. Niyamanam dave deshad ashmabir yatana griham vyamochayam patakinam chitva pasam prasayate. English. We were bringing the most sinful ajamil toward the hellish planets following your order, when those beautiful persons from Siddhaloka forcibly cut the knots of the ropes with which we were arresting him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that the Yamadutas wanted to bring the Vishnudutas before Yamaraj. If Yamaraj could have punished the Vishnudutas, the Yamadutas would have been satisfied. Text 10. Tamste viditum ichamo yadi no manyase kshamam Narayanati adihite mabir iti ayur jastum. As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, those four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, "Do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Yamadutas, wanted to bring them before Yamaraj, and if possible, punish them. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide before pursuing either course. However, they wanted to know about the Vishnu Dutas from Yamaraj, who is also omniscient. So now we will discuss some of these verses. First, I will ask for the torchlight of knowledge. Om Jnana Timuranya Sahaginagina Salakaya Chaksurin Minatanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but I may not be the only one. And so I ask the spiritual master to bring the torchlight of knowledge so that maybe he can help me speak something on these verses here from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, we find in this world that there's miseries created by many kinds of things, right? Just the material nature creates miseries. And if not that, they're called Adi Devik. And Adi Bodhik is other people. Any other people have ever created miseries for you? Anybody who's never had another person create a misery for them, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. So there's always someone trying to create miseries for us in the world. And if that doesn't do it, we have the adiatmic miseries, our own mind and body. Now, of course, generally, we find that we can minimize these a little bit by not creating sinful activities. It's just like the police department comes to arrest people who have done something wrong, and they have trouble avoiding them, right? Because they've done something illegal. And especially if there is a powerful police department coming to get them, it is very difficult to get away from it. We find big, powerful criminals. Eventually, they get caught, right? So we find that the more sinful activities we do, the more chance there is that we are going to get caught and get punished. And that is why Ajamil had committed many sinful activities, and that is why the Yamadutas were able to take him away and be punished by Yamaraj, correct? Is that correct? Yes? No. But how is that not correct? How is it that if we suffer just from the material nature, even when we're good people, we suffer hot and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, all the things Krishna asks us to be transcendental to. And we have other living entities creating us problems. We have our own mind and bodies, even when we're devotees. And yet Ajamil was a sinful person. So according to all calculation, he should have been arrested by the Yamadutas. And he should have been taken to Yamaraj to be punished. Shouldn't he? Is it that Yamaraj is not very powerful? This is the perplexing point for the Yamadutas here, because they are wondering. They are thinking, why is it that you seem to be so powerful? And we have a job to do for you. We've never had trouble doing this job before. And how is it that all of a sudden somebody stopped us from doing this? It doesn't seem right. It's kind of like the story of the Professor Frog. He's sitting in his well, and he's the king of that well. And he thinks he does so well. And the other frog goes to see the Indian Ocean. And he comes back and he says, I saw the Indian Ocean. And the frog in the well says, is it as big as my well? And the frog who saw the ocean says, no, it is much bigger. He says, how can it be bigger than my well? He says, okay, could it be twice as big? Oh, no, the frog who saw the ocean said, it is much bigger than that. So he said, well, could it be five times as big? And he's puffing himself up. And he says, could it be 10 times? Oh, no, much bigger. 20 times? No, 100,000? Boom, and the frog explodes because he can't comprehend this. Krishna is beyond our comprehension. He is not conceivable. That's why he is called inconceivable, right? The nature of Krishna is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he is Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadyam, Anantarupam, Adyam Paranam Purusham, Navajovanamscha, Vedeshu Durlaba, Adurlaba, Atma Bhakto, Govindam Adipurusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So he is Advaita, he is non-dual, he is Achyuta, infallible. So he is infallible. Even the great personality like Yamaraj, we think this can happen. Can it happen that if somebody is like the court of Yamaraj, he comes to take people away who've done something sinful? So is it possible that his order could be countermanded? Can this happen in the material world by higher authority? Sometimes they used to say, I remember seeing the old movies in the 60s, that somebody was about to be executed, and if the governor of the state pardoned them, they could get a reprieve. It's an important word, a reprieve. You know what the reprieve means? It means even though you've done something wrong, and even though the authorities in charge are going to stop you, a higher authority gives you a reprieve and gets you out of the trouble, even though you don't deserve it. That's why it's called causeless mercy. And they have the movies in that. The person gets executed, and then the governor calls 1 minute later, yes, give him the reprieve. So sometimes the governor can be late, right? Because they had to get a hold of the governor. Maybe he was busy. And sure enough, he calls in, and it could be a little late. So sometimes people in this material world can help us, even when they're very powerful, and sometimes they cannot. So what was the difference here? Even though Yamaraj is such a powerful demigod, what was the difference we read here in verse 10? Ajamil was at the point that before something happened, the Amadutas came to get Ajamil. And at that point, they were in the valid position to take him away. And they were taking him out of his body. And at that point, just like the person who has been convicted and the order is there to execute him, he is deserving this execution, and the execution will go through unless there's a phone call. But of course, the phone call may be busy. So what happened to give Ajamil this reprieve? Did the Amadutas lose interest? Did the rope get loosened? What happened? What did he do? He uttered the name Narayan. That's it. And when did the beautiful man arrive? Immediately. This is the point, because just like when if the person is going to be executed and the phone is busy to the governor and the execution is going through, it may be too late, right? If Narayan is saying, well, I'm busy now, or I'm doing something else, or I couldn't be reached on the phone, Ajamil would have been taken to Yamaraj and it would have been late, but he was reached immediately. And this is what's amazing, we think. That if Ajamil had deserved this, he had done so many sinful activities, and yet he called on the mercy of the Lord, and he was saved immediately. Isn't this a wonderful thing that happened? He called on the Lord immediately. We see these other sinful persons. We see the story of Jagai and Madai, that they had actually offended Lord Nityananda, hit him in the head with a pot, and he was bleeding. But when they said, oh no, I think we made a big mistake, and they fell down and asked for forgiveness, they were forgiven, even though Lord Chaitanya came with a Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Nityananda interceded on their behalf and gave them a reprieve that this happened. So, you know, we think that this is a difficult thing. It's like when the Yamadutas came along, was Ajamil happy? Oh, this is great. Some people have come to see me and take me somewhere. Was he happy about this? Was he? He wasn't real happy, was he? He was very distressed. We will say the word he had was desperation. We find this, that somehow... You know, it's like when Radhana Swami was giving a class at the Gopastami, he said one thing that I didn't like very much. You know what that was? He said that we can't choose the way Krishna gives us his mercy. He said, we can't choose the way that Krishna gives us our lessons. And I would like to say, okay, Krishna, I have a list of the things I would like you to do. I have a way that I want you to give me the lessons that I want, as if I'm going to tell God what to do. The comedian George Carlin said this. He must have heard it from Prabhupada, because he said that the shopkeeper is praying, please, God, make sure my shop is locked so that no thief will come in. And the thief is praying, please, God, make sure the shop is unlocked so I can get in. He says, but what is the use of being God if you have to wait until somebody prays to you to tell you what to do, right? So I didn't like what he said with this. I want to pick the way that Krishna gives me tests. Good luck with that, right? And two, when Krishna gives me the tests, Krishna knows how much I can handle. Well, Krishna can give me something I can't handle. Maybe he will, but then he'll give me the mercy to do it. So if I can't handle it on my own, Krishna will help me to handle it, because maybe I can't do it. We see sometimes people go through big difficulties in life. Other times people trip on a stone and hit a rock and they die. So it's up to Krishna. And see, the Yamadutas were thinking, we have it in control. Yamaraj is our great leader. They were thinking about the four factors of activity. We're doing the endeavor. We've done this endeavor lots of times. Our senses, number two, are in control. And we, the living entities, our job is to take away the sinful living entities. And this is our field of activities. So we have the four factors of action in control to take Ajamil away. But what is the problem? There's five factors. That is the problem. So the factor they don't know about, there's five factors. So Krishna is the fifth factor, and he can override these factors if he wants to. And we call out to him. So when he called out to Narayan, a few leaks later, Narayan saved him, right? Was that it? When was it? Immediately. He didn't have time to wait a couple of weeks. So this gives us a few lessons. You know, we read this in the scriptures. We read the things like when Krishna talks about there's so many different kinds of sacrifices. But he mentions that that of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names. Japa, jagno nam, japo, jagno shmi. Of chanting, of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. This is the 24th verse in the 10th chapter. So we can do many kinds of sacrifices. We can sit on nails. They usually sell pictures of people sleeping on the bed of nails in India. We can do so many kinds of sacrifices. But when we chant the holy names, this sacrifice is Krishna himself. And it's mentioned at so many places in the scripture. You know, it's mentioned that in this age of Kali Yuga, that Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevanam, Kalur Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha, that in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than the chanting of the holy names. And we see the result, that Krishna comes immediately. He came immediately. And we find that if we're chanting the holy name, that the holy name is so powerful that it can stop us from suffering the adiatmic miseries created by our own mind and body. It can stop us from suffering the miseries of the other living entities. It can even stop us suffering from Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, coming to punish us even when we deserve it. He deserved it, and it could still stop him. Imagine that. And we find that it's mentioned in the scripture that if we're chanting the holy name at the time of death, we will go back to one of the appropriate spiritual planets, which is appropriate to us if we're chanting at the time of death. So since we don't know what is the time of death, the ABCs are always be chanting, that then we get the mercy of the Lord, because the Lord can appear immediately. This is a very good cost-to-value ratio. He had accumulated so many sinful debts, But just by chanting the name of Narayan, these debts were all liquidated, just like that. You know, it's amazing, and they don't come with price tags. Now you go to the store, oh, this one is 100 rupees, this one is 200 rupees. Each sinful activity has a price tag, but don't worry, you'll get the bill later. Are you feel good for that? If they give you like the credit card, you say, don't worry, just charge the items and I'll bill you later. Don't worry about the cost. Does that make you feel comfortable? It doesn't, does it? Especially when you're billed with interest. So we find that no matter how powerful these people are trying to get in our way, and even if we deserve it, then the holy name can rescue us. But we find that what did Ajamil have? He had what they call the gift of desperation. He wasn't chanting, saying, well, I'm here in my nice apartment with my nice wife, and I have a beautiful view, and everything is wonderful, and I got to pick the tests that Krishna gave me. So I got to pick some easy ones. So Hare Krishna, pass the samosas, Hare Rama, I am doing very fine. And even though, in one sense, I didn't like how he said that, I knew that that's the way it's supposed to be, and I really do like it. Because, you know, we don't really look for a gift of desperation. But it is a gift of desperation. Because when we, if Ajamil had got a notice, you know, your sinful activities are not doing very well for you, you may have to suffer later, it might not have been a lot. But was it a gift of desperation? Was it a heavy test that the Yamadutas were trying to pull him out of his body? Who wants to have that test happen today? We don't, right? But was it a gift for him? Without that gift of desperation that the Yamadutas, these ugly, horrible creatures, are pulling him out of his body, he wouldn't have felt the need to call out for divine inspiration. And that's why it's called a gift of desperation. He was put into desperation. And because of that, he says, oh, Narayan, Narayan, please save me. First he called out to his son, but then he remembered that it was the name of God. So by that gift of desperation, here I am stupidly thinking, I don't like it how it is that Radhanath Swami is saying it. But actually I do. When I think about it the second time, I go, actually I do. Because when I get that gift of desperation, and Krishna gives me a difficult test, the cost may be 10 times as much, but the value is 100 times as much. When I think about the cost-to-value ratios, if I say, give me a lakh of rupees right now, they say, why? Well, I'm going to give you a crore. Would it be worth it? You don't think, oh my God, I have to give up a lakh of rupees. So when we're just looking at the test, we're thinking, look what I'm getting, but that gift of desperation. This happened in so many others' lives. Queen Kunti, did she not want this? She prayed to Krishna. Krishna, whenever there is difficulties, you were there. She says, I pray that these difficulties come again and again. Therefore, she was happy with that gift of desperation because she could call out to the name of Krishna and she could feel Krishna even more intensely. We find this, that so many others had this gift of desperation. How about Draupadi? They were trying to, Dushasana and the others were trying to pull off her sari, and she was holding on with one hand. This sounds like a good idea. What I'll do is I'll do a balanced program. Half of it I'll hold on to what I have, and the other half I call out to Krishna. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I'll call out to Krishna, but in the meantime, it wasn't working. We have to remember that. Things that don't work, we don't try them again. People think that. They engage in sense gratification and they get kicked. We chew on thorns and have to bleed. We think, but next time I'll be able to squish those thorns without bleeding. This is how sense gratification is. So Draupadi is realizing, this isn't working. I have to surrender more. She is saying that, okay, I'll surrender with both hands to Krishna. So then, as they were pulling off the sari, Krishna was supplying more and more sari. So, did Krishna give her something she could handle? Maybe. But Krishna gave her the ability to handle it. My granddaughter has the picture on her Facebook of Krishna's hands, and the whole world is sitting in Krishna's hands. You know, some of the things, you know, we worry about these little things, right? We worry about the little ones. You know, for instance, the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun. Now, what if it was only 70 or it was 120? Would that be a big deal? Is it a big deal that Krishna keeps it exactly where it is? It is, but we don't seem to worry about that. We seem to worry about other things. We seem to worry about the little things. But this was given very important. When Prabhupada went to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada for the first time, he said that, but India needs to get free from England. Was that important? Is it? Who says no? Who says yes? Yes, it was important. It was important that India got free from England. But it wasn't more important than understanding and teaching the teachings of Lord Krishna through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures. That's why they use such an important point. Of course it was important that India got free from England. If Prabhupada had said, but I have to go fold the laundry, of course we can say, but that is not more important than spreading the holy names. We know that. But if even the important things are not more important than spreading this Krishna consciousness, then of course the little things should not be so important. It's like Jnanananda Swami was saying a few days ago. People, we tend to look at one issue and we say, oh, but this is the most important issue. You know, maybe Ajamil had to fold the laundry, but was that important, or is it more important to call out to Narayan? What if he didn't call out to Narayan, he got the laundry folded nicely, but the Yamadutas got to save him? Would that be better than forget the laundry, but he went back to Krishna? So we have to understand the first things first, the most important thing, is to surrender to Krishna. We get that gift of desperation. Something goes wrong and we usually don't like it. We don't say, please, Krishna, give me the difficulty. I think St. Francis of Assisi prayed to God. He says, thank you, God, for all the things you've given me, all the things that you've left me with, and all the things that you've taken away from me. Because sometimes the things that are taken away from us give us that gift of desperation, which, you know, if you have a box with a ribbon on, you open it up and it says desperation, you go, oh my God, I was not expecting that. But yet, it's true, the tests that Krishna gives us are exactly what we need. And when those gifts of desperation come along, Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on the lap of his father and his stepmother, Saruchi. I got Saruchi too. I had a stepmother that didn't want me around as much because she only wanted her children around my father. I'm not the only one this one happened to. And he became very frustrated. And he went to his mother, and his mother says, go to the forest. And Narada Muni explained to him that this is difficult, right? Was it difficult? But he had this gift of desperation. So he said, it is difficult, but I really want it badly. So Narada Muni advised him to chant a mantra. What is that mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And what helped this mantra work for him? Why? Because he was chanting in desperation. Some people say in Nectar of Devotion, it says we worship the Lord in opulence. So that means I should get a very opulent position and I should worship the Lord, correct? No, we worship the Lord in His opulence, right? In His opulence, not in our opulence, right? So this is the point. This desperation helped him. Did Srila Prabhupada have any desperation? Srila Prabhupada came to America on a cruise ship, and the people on the other side waited for him, and then his godbrothers all helped him to establish a mission, and nobody gave him any trouble. Is that the correct story? No, he didn't come on a cruise liner. Prabhupada had that plan first, that he was going to make some money. It's a good plan, isn't it? Make some money. Not a bad idea to make some money and go spread Krishna consciousness. But what did Krishna give Prabhupada? A gift of desperation. He didn't go on a cruise liner, he went on a cargo ship. And he suffered so many difficulties, we just sort of think about heart attack. We suffer any health reverses, and we don't feel good about it. People have such health problems, and they talk to someone else, they wouldn't want to trade when they find out what other people are going through. Prabhupada had two heart attacks, and when he went to America, he had no support going on there. But because of this, he prayed to Krishna. And this is one thing I think before a class, is that I ask people if they want to hear something, try to listen, and Krishna can help me. Like Prabhupada said, if you want them to hear this, then make me dance. give me the ability to speak something that will help them be Krishna conscious. And if you want to make me a fool, then that's okay too. Because we're trying to serve Krishna. It's what Krishna wants. I have to decide to like what Radhanath Swami said, that whatever tests Krishna gives me are the ones that give me the best ability to surrender him, even the gifts of desperation. When I was in South Africa in 1972, we were there to preach, and I was there with Rishi Kumar Swami, and five thieves came, four with guns and one with a crowbar. The one with one gun put a gun at my head and said, "Get under the bed." So I'm under the bed and I'm chanting. Very nonchalantly, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I wonder what's on TV. Wonder what's for lunch. No, I got the gift of desperation because the one with the crowbar says, "Shoot him." And the one with the gun, I'm thinking, even if he's not a good shot, he can't miss, is saying, "No, we don't need to shoot him." And the one with the crowbar says, "No, we don't need witnesses. We're trying to rob this house. Shoot him." And I said, "Krishna, this is it, isn't it?" I said, "I better chant intently. Please prepare a space for me." And I chanted very intensely, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." You know why I chanted those two rounds very attentively? Because those were going to be the last ones, right? Someone says, "Oh, I'll chant this." Someone says, "Okay, chant this round attentively because this is going to be your last round. Would you chant attentively?" Did I pray for that gift of desperation? No, I didn't pray, "Please, Krishna, threaten my life so that I get so desperate I really have to depend on you." But did I appreciate it afterwards? You bet I did. I really appreciated that because I got to chant really intensely. And sometimes I think, "Oh my God, I'm so scared I'm going to die immediately." And then we think, "Oh no, I'm never going to die at all." And in the meantime, we slowly dwindle away and we do die. People think that, like with the economy, "Oh, everything's going to be perfect. Oh, it's going to fall apart by Christmas." But it usually dwindles away slowly. So, we don't necessarily die all at once, but we are dying a little bit at a time. Bhadra Narayan tells the story. The man died before he had his daughter married, and he told God, "God, why didn't you give me any notice?" He says, "Notice?" He says, "First you needed glasses. That was the first notice. Then I gave you some gray hair. The second notice, then I gave you wrinkles. Then you got sore joints, and then you got a little more tired." He says, "How many notices did you need?" The notice is coming. So sometimes we get the desperation in a slow way, and sometimes in a quick way. I also got the desperation when I was alone there in South Africa. What happened was I was there with Rishi Kumar Swami, and I was just a brahmachari. And sometimes the Africans wanted to kill us, and sometimes the government wanted to kill us. It was a race. But Krishna saved me somehow. And one day I woke up and there was a note from him saying, "Dear Shuti decided to split." I'm thinking, this is my explanation. I turned the page over. I looked for the other page. I said, "I know when Rupa Goswami says that we should confidentially reveal our mind, he means more than saying, I decided to split." But when I wrote to Prabhupada that I was there alone and that I would carry on and I had to order more books even though I was in debt and I would make incense sticks to help pay off the debt, I thought, maybe I'm in trouble because I've had to make so many decisions on my own. Of course, I would have asked the other devotees if there were any there. I would have asked even neighbors if I had them, but I was way out in the countryside. So it was just me and no one else to be able to ask. So when I got the desperation of having to work in a whole country all alone on Prabhupada and Krishna's behalf, when the letter came back from Srila Prabhupada, I thought, maybe I'm in trouble. And I opened it up and the first line said, I'm very much pleased at the responsibility you've taken to spread Krishna consciousness in South Africa at such a young age. I said, oh, well, the rest of the letter has to be good, and my life is successful because the spiritual master was pleased. So even though I don't like this gift of desperation, even though my mind was fighting it when Radhanath Swami was saying that we don't get to choose the way that Krishna is going to test us, then I realized that Krishna has something in mind. But what I have to do is practice to be ready. Because if you have been practicing a subject matter and they say, okay, we're going to have a spontaneous test. If you've been studying it, you probably won't do as badly. So we have to study for the tests in life and realize that this gift of desperation is good because it puts us in a position where we have to call on the names of Krishna and he gives us divine inspiration. He takes us back to the spiritual world and frees us from the suffering even when we deserve it. So what could be better than that? So are there any questions, comments, corrections? Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you. That was very real class. And your own example is certainly exemplary in this regard. To dovetail that desperation. One quick comment, we could all think about it afterwards. There's not really time to discuss it. But what is it, Gopinath Bhattanayaka? You were talking about a reprieve where even if you deserve a higher authority, you can avoid getting executed.
Yes.
So they put him up on the platform and they throw him on their chanda, which are these swords that are embedded in stone. And they throw you down and then that's how you die.
I hate it when that happens.
Ouch. Now, he wasn't nearly as simple as Ajamil by a long shot. All he did was cheated a little on the taxes, maybe even accidentally, that he was supposed to pay the king. He was the tax collector. And so they went to the higher authority, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, well, he was stealing from the king, he has to be punished. Why bother me with these things? And he was saved at the last minute, but it's interesting how Lord Chaitanya increased the desperation, you might say.
Yes.
The devotees were so anxious. My question is that we sometimes, I don't like to say we criticize the Christians, but we, comparatively speaking, we feel that we're on more solid ground. And one of the bases of that is we say they take it cheaply. All they do is they accept Jesus and then they become free, even though they don't deserve it. So we always think that it's kind of taking it cheaply. But then you were saying that if you chant Hare Krishna, then the same thing happens. Now, of course, the desperation, well, some of the Christians are also kind of desperate when they go to the church and they step forward and they accept Jesus. And I don't know, is it, can we also be accused of a sort of a cheap process to avoid punishment that we deserve, just we do as we chant Hare Krishna with a little bit of intensity?
Well, we can make several things on these. One is, of course, you know, we don't depend on that. And a lot of it is, you know, the seventh offense, we're committing sins on the strength of chanting the holy names. If I step on your foot and I say, oh, please forgive me for stepping on your foot, even though I intend to do it every day for the next year, it isn't quite the same thing, is it? So a lot is the intention. You know, we can't depend on this. We can't think, well, I'll keep doing the thing. But if we're in desperation saying, please, Krishna, I made a mistake. Please, you know, what we have to do is we have these sinful trees. We have to remove not just the branches, but the roots too, right? So we have to ask Krishna not to just forgive us from the sins we've committed, but to remove the sinful tendency, not say, please, Krishna, remove the reactions for the sins I've committed so that I can commit more sins and feel good about this. It's like some person says, you know, you owe me money. Why didn't you pay me the money you owe me? He says, well, I asked Jesus to forgive me. But I slapped you in the face, but I asked Jesus to forgive me. So sometimes we have to also ask forgiveness or at least make amends with the people that we've actually hurt. And we shouldn't be using this as an excuse to do more. Well, I'll just ask Jesus to forgive me and I become a worse person. The other one too is, I think Lord Chaitanya is telling us, you better not cheat on the taxes. You know, even the great gangster Al Capone, they couldn't catch him on so many other things, but he went to prison for 11 years cheating on taxes. So sometimes devotees think, well, it doesn't matter, it's just the government. But it doesn't look good for Krishna consciousness. And they can catch up with you. Like in America, if you owe money to the IRS, they can put attachments on your bank account, your car, your house, anything else. And so it's, you know, we shouldn't think that I cannot do these things and ask Krishna to forgive. We should try to be honest in the beginning. Yes?
Right, so what you were saying about the Christians, so in other words, the principle that you're stating that we shouldn't think in advance that I'll be exonerated because I'll chant the holy name afterwards, that's the seventh offense. But even though they don't know about 10 offenses and all that, but the same principle can also apply to them as well. I would imagine that if they feel desperate and they somehow pray to Jesus, that they may not get exactly the same benefit, but they also get some mercy as long as they weren't doing it in a manipulative way. And so in other words, it's not that all Christians are committing the seventh offense, is it?
No. I mean, that's individual. We should worry more. That's like Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the field of activities and who is the knower? And Krishna says, your mind and body are your field of activities and you are the knower of that. And only I am the knower of all the other fields of activities. So it's more important for me to see how I'm doing. But at the same time, it shows us too that, you know, if we do owe money to government or we do have things that we need to fix with people, we should try to fix those. You know, the story is there with Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. You know, Durvasa Muni went to Narayan and says, you know, please save me from this. You know, forgive me. He says, yeah, but you... So it's showing that if we do have some things to settle in this world, you know, in one sense, Krishna takes it all away, but if we have things where we've insulted other devotees or even owe money to the government, we should try to, you know, we shouldn't be asking for forgiveness as much as we should be trying not to commit the things again and even be willing to suffer it, but ask for the tendency not to do it. Because if I say, oh, can I be forgiven for the money I owe you even though I intend to borrow more and not repay it? You first try to fix the thing you've done and then... And I don't think they do that when the Catholic Church, they say, go say three Hail Marys and Our Fathers, but they don't go tell the people you've hurt that you've... I think that's a missing piece.
What about the Varsity?
What about it?
In other words, that verse in Bhagavatam that says that if one is sincerely
yes.
Servant to the Lord, he's indemnified. He has no more, he's no longer a servant. He has no more material responsibility.
Well, yeah, that's for the future. But we shouldn't be using that as an excuse to not take care of our responsibilities at the temple or the people we owe money to or children or the job that we're doing. Or, you know, you can't show up for work and say, you have to pay me anyway because I don't owe the responsibilities. That's more for the future. And trying not doesn't mean that we shouldn't be reputable people, that we can get ourselves in trouble using that improperly. We should still be reputable people. We have to show an example, and we make ourselves and the spiritual master look bad if we don't live up to our responsibilities. But then we're not ultimately responsible to them. If the boss is a bad boss and he doesn't do well and you have to leave the company, then you're ultimately serving Krishna. That's where that makes... You're not responsible if somebody's a householder to work at a job where they don't pay you or don't treat you properly. Or is responsible to serve Krishna no matter what. But we shouldn't try to You know, people use that, some of that devotee's an excuse. Well, I don't have to take care of my children because I don't owe anything to... And that can't be an excuse. So we shouldn't look for excuses. We should just look for reasons to be more responsible to Krishna than to everybody else. And a lot of that, too, is, you know, if somebody like a brahmachari or a sannyasi doesn't want to be responsible for children, so they don't have any. So they can say, well, I don't have to be responsible to children, I don't have them. But you can't have them and then say, well, I'm not responsible for them because I don't have to be. Because if you've accepted some responsibilities in Krishna's name, then you're also responsible to Krishna to live up to your obligations. Any other quick question? Should we end there? Thank you very much for the opportunity. Hare Krishna. One thing we don't need is more excuses to deviate from Krishna consciousness and our responsibility. We already have more excuses than we need.